This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Hour 3 of 5 with you until 5 o'clock this morning, taking you right up to Mully and Haw here on a Football Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Olin Kreutz joins Mully and Haw at 7 a.m. DJ Moore will join those guys at 8. Then it's Anthony Heron with Bernstein and Harris at 11 o'clock. Dan Wiederer, 1 o'clock with Bernstein and Harris. Big show with Spiegel and Holmes, per usual. Kurt Warner will be there at 3. Mark Grody at 4. Jalen Johnson at 5. And then on Tuesday, TJ Edwards will join Bernstein and Harris as well at noon. We got the Bears covered for you up and down. Love your thoughts at 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the show, give me a call. Drop me a text. Give me your Bears thoughts. This one from the 773, not Bears related directly, but says, I don't know anything about kneecaps, but it looked like they swallowed the Cowboys, talking about what the Detroit Lions did tonight to the Dallas Cowboys. And I did want to take a minute just to talk about the NFC North here and what's going on with this division, because you watch the Bears put that ass whooping on the Jaguars this morning, and you're feeling really good. And they were obviously the first game of the day, but then you watch what the Packers did in the noon slate of games, just right out of the gates, destroying the... They were up 3 scores before I could even... I took my dog for a walk after the Bears game, and by the time I got back, the Packers were up 3 scores. That game was over before it started, and they went on to a 34-13 victory. They now sit at 4-2. The Lions, as I just referenced, they had the national game at 3 o'clock on Fox and just mollywopped the Dallas Cowboys. I mean,
I think it's safe to say that is going to be the beatdown of the year.
That was
the 2024 NFL season.
I mean, I wasn't like picking games before the week started, but like if you were like, hey, who do you think is going to win this? I'd probably pick the Lions, but good Lord, 47-9, and Dan Campbell hates the Cowboys. I don't know if you know this.
Yes,
he must.
Yes.
He on the first play of the game, he reported an offensive lineman eligible. He also sent an offensive lineman on an end around to catch an end around flea flicker to an offensive lineman that almost resulted in a touchdown. And then they were up by like 20 something, and he put an O lineman and declared him eligible and split him out wide at wide receiver to run around. I mean, it was just disrespectful what was going on.
They were just rubbing it in, the Dan Skipper reporting eligible thing. They're like, all right, you had that one by 1 point. Watch this.
That was insane. Now, the one thing from that game, and I don't root for injuries, but the reality of them is they have an impact and effect on how games are played and in the standings at the end of the day. Aiden Hutchinson carted off in the third quarter, and they said afterwards he had to be put in an air cast and wheeled off the field and then immediately taken to the hospital for surgery. I always get my leg bones mixed up, but I think they said it was a fractured tibia.
That's correct.
Okay.
He had an emergency surgery staying back in Dallas after the team flew back to Detroit. You just hate to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's gut-wrenching,
and
honestly.
He's probably the best pass rusher. Well, I think he is the best pass rusher in the division. Top 3, top 5 pass rusher.
NFL sack leader entering this week.
So, I don't hope for it, but this is going to affect. I would assume he's out for the season. I don't know what the recovery time is.
It seems like as of right now, the regular season is out of question. Maybe for the playoffs, but it'd be unlikely, I think, if he plays again this season.
The way guys were gathered around him, and I hate to even go there, but like the intensity of the medical attention he was getting, how many people were around him. I was thinking about the Alex Smith thing, right? We found out later that they had to literally save his life on the field and stabilize him because something ruptured. I'm not a doctor, but something ruptured in his leg when he suffered his horrific leg injury.
Like Joe Theismann back in the day.
And it doesn't sound like it was that bad, thank God. But that's what was running through my head when he said it. But I say all that to say this when talking about the NFC North. This division, man, I want to feel really good about the Bears, but this they're going to have to beat these teams in the standings, and they're 6 of the last 8 games are the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers, and this division is just...
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Minnesota, first of all, the division combined is 16-4 against outside competition this season. It's the best record for any division after 6 weeks since the NFL expanded to 32 teams in 2002. The Bears and Packers are tied for last place at 4-2. It's the first time since realignment in 2002 that 4 teams in the same division have had 4 wins through 6 weeks. You look at the point differentials, number 1 in the league, the Vikings at plus 63. Number 2 in the league, the Lions at plus 60. Number 3 in the league, your Chicago Bears at plus 47. And number 4 in the league, the Packers at plus 41. The NFC North also happens to hold the league's best conference record at 17-5.
Like, all 4 teams in the division are top 4 in the league.
In everything.
In point differential.
Yes, they are the 4 top teams in point differential in this league.
Unbelievable.
It's wild, man.
And unbelievable.
So it's going to be a tough road. As good as the Bears were today, what also was put on display is going to be a really, really tough road if they're going to do something this season.
I know this is kind of like a dumb question, but with how hot these teams have been getting off to start-wise, 3 teams sounds pretty realistic. Could all 4 of them make the playoffs?
I think it's possible. I think we can almost, it's hard to say this through 6 weeks, but you can almost bank on 3 coming out of this division. 4 would be a
wild
stretch, and that would be wild, but it's 100% in play right now.
It's the AFC North has been the best division the last year or two, and you never even thought of all 4 of those teams making it each of the last couple years, but the way that, like you said, these teams have started this year, there's a legitimate chance it could happen.
We still are yet to hear from Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet here on the show. We'll hear from Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, but wanted to play you a little bit from our Bears postgame show earlier today. This was Mully. I have that right? Mully? All right. It's Mully, Pat Manley, and Olin Krutz, who was the busiest person in the world this weekend. He went from Carmel Catholic, where he's the offensive line coach, for his son's football team Friday night. Saturday, he had to get to the Illini game. Then he was back Sunday. His wife was in the marathon. I heard him say all this on Spiegel and Holmes a couple days ago. And then, of course, taking in the Bears game and partaking in the postgame show. Here's a little bit of that right here on 670 The Score.
It's time for the man himself, Olin Krutz, joins us after a big morning at the Chicago Marathon. Olin, I'm sure, mentally ran that race, if not physically.
you'd have to carry me up Michigan Street. I would not even make it either. Wendy finishes, my wife, 3 hours and 43 minutes.
Wow.
She finished the marathon. It was great. We just actually just walked up Michigan. What a scene, man. I mean, I think it's 50,000 people running it. What a great event the city puts on for all these runners and all the people who come to Chicago. And I'm sure, as you guys know, the day is just perfect. So what an event for this city. And she runs a marathon. And we went down there. And it's actually my daughter's, Gracie. It's her 18th birthday also today.
Oh, man.
So happy birthday to her. Yeah, we went down there and I got to see Wendy. And then, you know, we opened gifts and did all those things after we came back from the Purdue football game. That was a crazy game, as sure as you guys saw. Purdue, Illinois, 50-49. They go for it. I don't know if you guys saw that, but head coach for Purdue, Ryan Walters, who was the Illinois defense coordinator, he called the offensive plays in the second half. And really just, I mean, it was unbelievable because he said it was like everything was on the line and they had to try to win that game, right? So he just starts calling the plays and you know, obviously he knows all the Illinois concepts and schemes, and it seemed like he knew exactly how to attack them. But congrats to Coach Brett Bielema, a personal game for him against, you know, a guy that came from his staff, and they beat him, and Illinois moves on 5-1 in Michigan next week.
Yeah, man, a win's a win. 5-1, like you said, that's awesome. Congrats. And wait, how many marathons has Wendy run now? I asked you the other day and I forgot.
Yeah, that was her 13th Chicago Marathon. It's her 17th total. She's run 4 Boston.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You know, and she has
that's
six,
unbelievable.
She has 6 kids. If you count me, that's 8. She has 8 kids. 2 dogs and a cat. So, you know,
yeah.
She stays busy. And
that's
it was good. You know, the whole week started Thursday. Gracie's team, Loyola, played IC Catholic in volleyball, and then we played, you know, Carmel played against DePaul College Prep. So the week is almost trying to get home.
Wow, well, Olin, we got to see a good game, man. We got to see a good game.
Awesome.
You texted me in the middle of the game. What an arm! What arm talent! Yeah. I mean, the kid's pretty special.
Yes, and he looked really good today. And you saw the reasons that everyone was saying that he was a special quarterback coming out, even when he was at Oklahoma, right? People were projecting him as the number one pick from then. He was Ryan Poles picked him as the number one pick, way before the draft. And today what you saw I love when Kurt Warner put that graphic up, how fast that ball was coming out, right? 2-3, 2-4. I mean, like, you know, Pat, that is critical, man. And then the ball placement, right? And Keenan Allen on the slant, Keenan Allen on a touchdown. We talked about on this show how much, you know, we talked about going on Saturday, that even if you watch the film, even though Keenan Allen wasn't getting the ball, you knew it was coming to him and you knew how important he was to this offense. And he showed you that today. And we all know who they're playing, but look, Pat, like, you know, it's hard to beat up teams like that in the NFL.
Yes.
Defense flying around without 2 starters, right? O-line starts a little slow, but looked like they got into their fundamentals, changed their set a little bit. Obviously, the ball coming out fast allows Darnell Wright to take a little bit of a creep set. Call it a creep set when you almost jump set a guy. That kind of settled everybody down. The guards are giving proper help. Guys are setting in. Swift is running the ball hard. And this team, guys, I don't know how you guys feel, but like, I almost wish it wasn't a bye week. I want to see them play again. I want to see them keep improving. And I'm excited for this Commanders game.
Yeah, I agree with that to an extent, Olin. I was a little concerned over the fact that they lost a couple players in the game, namely Kyler Gordon with a hamstring. They're already without their safety and without their other corner. Dominique Stevenson went down with a calf injury, and, of course, Brisker with a concussion. So I think they played really well. And even, you know, we were praising John Hoke earlier, because they played very well despite losing, 3/5 of what is the best unit, you could argue, on their defense. So I do think that the time off may help them get reset a little bit.
Comes at the perfect time, and I'm like you, Molly, when I seen Kyler Gordon go down, because really Eberflus, his plan, I was wondering how he was going to stop the run. And he was still bringing the blitz, right? And you could see on the back end, sometimes guys were open, but the blitz was confusing Lawrence. And Kyler Gordon, man, he was hiding it. He was doing a really nice job disguising the blitz. They were blitzing him through the B gap. He was making a lot of plays against the run. He made a play even on the edge against that screen when they tossed it out there, right? So he was having what I was thinking was his best game as a pro. And it matched that outfit he walked into London Stadium with, right? Like, he backed that thing up, man. You know, hey, listen, Pat, as we say in the league, right? You play like that, you dress how you want. So he was playing. I hope that hamstring is not a serious injury like you, Mully. We don't want to be without Tyreek Stevenson and Brisker and Kyler Gordy for too long because that is an elite unit there. But, man, if it's not Edwards causing a fumble, not Tremaine Edmonds punching out, I mean, that defense is flying around, playing good football. You are worried a little bit about the injuries, but the bye week comes at the perfect time. And Manly, as you know, man, like whenever someone gets like that, you're just hoping to hear that he'll be back.
Yes, yes, it's not that bad. That's all you want to hear. It's not that bad. Yeah. And 2 weeks is an eternity in the NFL for healing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's
it really 1 week is a week.
It seems like it's an eternity. I don't know how close you really got to watch the game, Olin, with the run game. Looked better. I like Matt Pryor over there with Darnell Wright. They seem like they've kind of gotten it together now of – you know, we wanted Tevin Jenkins over there and moving people off the ball. And the other thing that I think I noticed, I want to go back and watch, is Pryor finally is putting his hand on the ground on rundowns. And I think
we're calling for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're calling for that. And he put his hand down. And like you know, Pat, that block between the right guard and the right tackle when they double-team somebody is called a deuce block, right? And they were deucing the hell out of those guys, man. They were rolling them off the ball. The guy played three technique. For the Jaguars, he's going to be an ice tub, you know, over there in London. I don't know what they have for an ice tub there. I know they're there for another week, but he's going to have to take a little ice bath because, like you're saying, Pat, those guys are coming downhill. Man, they were coming downhill at the Jaguars. Yeah, and Swift is running the ball hard. It looks like they're a little bit of a group, even with the read, right, the zone read they're running with Komet coming back to hit the end, and Caleb can keep it or give it. And that puts a lot of pressure on the defense, almost – like a spread triple option, right? And Caleb's been keeping it at the right times. He gets down. He's a really savvy runner, man. So sometimes I'm like, gosh, he doesn't look that fast, but he picks up yards, does a nice job running the ball, does a nice job reading the defense. And a guy with an arm like that, a guy who plays, like he's actually playing quarterback. I know that sounds weird, right? But he's actually playing from the pocket. He's actually making checks, making reads. And then a guy like that can keep the ball also and get a little bit of yardage with his legs, he becomes so dangerous, man. And I got to go back and look, guys, and I think I'm really impressed with this. We talked a lot about Justin Fields and why we had to move on from him and why you go to Caleb Williams. And you talked a lot about the end of the game and end of half.
Yes.
I think Caleb has led a scoring drive the last three or four games. Actually, I got to go look back at that. I was thinking about that today, where he's got field goals, a couple of times he gets the ball back with only a minute left. Today he gets the ball back right down the field, touchdown, man. It's really good to watch this young quarterback grow. And again, we know who they're playing, right? We know what the defenses are going through, but still playing good football.
There are, I mean, a thousand different things you can say to express how rare it has been for the Bears to get that sort of performance from their quarterback repeatedly in a season and all the rookie records, Olin. But how about this one? That is the first time since 1956 that the Bears have scored five touchdowns on offense in back-to-back games. We've seen special teams and defense, but you have an offense that has scored five touchdowns in back-to-back games that hasn't happened since 1956. That's longer than even I have been alive.
Hey, listen, you're talking to two guys, Molly. You don't have to explain that too much, right? Like we've been through it. We know what you're talking about. And Shane Waldron, I mean, all the stuff he went through the first few weeks, and then the report that came out about not scripting it, and you know that play he had, the Cole Kmet down the middle, released down the middle after a fake swing screen, fake screen, pop Cole Kmet down the middle. What a nice play design. Really good job they're doing getting this offense moving forward. It's fun to watch him. First time in a long time, I'm staying in a hotel and I got my legs up right in the fourth quarter. Like, this game is over. Because time it's 3rd and 8, Pat, and I'm thinking to myself, well, where's Keenan Allen? How are they going to cover him? And as you guys see, this wide receiver group, and again, I know we're talking about one of the worst secondaries in the league, so we'll see as we move on. But this wide receiver group puts so much pressure on the defense. That's why you see all those penalties. That's why you see all those flags. And then you see the pass rush because Caleb, when you go after him too hard, he'll slip out and run for 20 or 30 yards. You see the pass rush slow down, right? You see it all. I imagine when I played with Drew Brees and I went in a bus after the first game against the Packers up there in Green Bay. And I told the New Orleans offensive line. You guys don't even play in the NFL. I don't even know what this is. Like, guys weren't even rushing you. Right? They weren't even rushing them, Pat. They weren't. They just, like, down the side and jump because the ball's coming out so damn fast. Right? So you're seeing some of that now. A guy like we've been looking for years, man. Years, almost praying for a multiplier. I know it's only been a two games, but he has been. The young man at quarterback has been a multiplier in two games.
You know who else is a multiplier? Cole Kmet. Coming in and doing the hardest job on the field, being a long snapper.
I don't even know how that's possible, Pat. I don't know how that's possible, man. You know? Hey, listen. Give him credit, man, because as you know, Pat, whenever someone asks me, you remember what I would say. I do not long snap. I don't do that. Hey, Olin, you're a center. No, man. Molly, what these guys do is hard. It's a hard job to do what Pat did, and Cole Kmet, credit to him. I mean, you know, Pat, it was funny when Pat put on Twitter that those snaps are high. I love that. Critique him. Who cares? But, hey, man, give him credit for jumping in there, scoring touchdowns, and then snapping the ball, Pat. Yeah. I mean, like you're saying about Cole Kmet, but interesting who develops. You hear these little stories about who develops into the – who is the secret leaders in that locker room, right? And you hear a little story about – little nugget about Cole Kmet. Told Caleb, call that play again. That's not right, right? So that's the standard. That's guys demanding that it be done the right way. Interesting to watch this team grow together, see what they can become. You know, I'll keep saying it. We know who they've played, but they got our attention. I give them that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think Pat feels like he could have played tight end, and he's wondering why
didn't
throw the ball.
No way.
Pat
could play tight end and be a PGA Tour golfer. Just ask him. Late at night after 12 IPAs.
That's my story. That's my story. Hey, Molly, Olin, I don't know if you remember this. I did. Erlacher threw me a pass in 2002 down in Champaign. We ran a fake field goal against Green Bay on a Monday night game. John Madden called the play or called the game. And Mike Swetman dialed up some just crazy play. And unfortunately, I say the ball got swatted away. I didn't catch it.
But, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, exactly. That's after one IPA. That's how the story's told.
hey, there's a good name, man. Mike Swetman. That's a football coach. Yeah. If you look it up in the dictionary, Coach Swetman.
Coach Swetman.
Yes, Cole Kmet, good game. He's become a big part of this team. And you know, Ryan Poles, a lot of questions when they re-signed him early, right? A lot of questions, and you kind of see what he's grown into. So, you know, as much as we jump on to Nate Davis, and today he was a healthy scratch, and the Bears are moving on, I guess, from that signing. But, you know, you also got to give him credit for signing guys like Cole Kmet. Yeah.
What did that mean to you when you saw that, Olin? I mean, we've talked about kind of the last chance, et cetera, when the coach is calling you out. I don't know what that is, but they got a couple guys closing in on getting back from injured reserve. I don't know what that means for the likes of, you know, even Dominic Robinson. I don't know what he's doing for a living. And certainly, you know, you talk about Velus, but – To see a guy in Nate Davis moved into a healthy scratch was shocking to me.
Yeah, and I know it looks from the outside looking in, it's shocking, but for guys, you know, we've been in the building, we know exactly what's happening, right, Pat? Like, it's not a mystery what you got to do in the NFL, right? You got to show up, and you got to do your job, and you got to do all the little things right. And, you know, when nothing's going right, you have to do everything right, right? And it just means he's not doing it right now. It's simple. If Lovey or someone came to me and they said, Olin, you need to do it this way, I just do it that way, right, Pat? Like, that's my job. Mm-hmm. So I show up and I do my job. You know, I show up on time. I may yell or scream at somebody, but at least I'm there. I'm in the building, and doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. And it just means to me he's not doing what he's been asked to do, right? He's not doing the things he's been asked to do, and I don't have to guess what all those things are. He's just not doing them, so now it's time to move on.
All right, Olin, it's bye week, correction time. You know, they've had two good darn weeks, man, right? But what do you see that they could work on, kind of fix up, or just kind of button down these next 2 weeks before they see the Commanders?
Yeah, it's a great question, because when you look at the film, Pat, right, we talk a lot about it. You can't just watch the film. You got to see it, right? You got to see. We've been talking about, okay, they're playing against really bad defenses, right? And you have to take a good look at your run game and say, okay, now we play – the Detroit Lions, right? We played a Green Bay Packers, Kenny Clark. we play these teams, Minnesota Vikings and Coach Flores, and they're bringing the house. The things we're doing, will they actually work? Right? Like Keenan Allen is real, right, Pat? That slant is real, man. I don't care who you are on the field.
Yep.
Caleb's arm, the way the accuracy today, that's real. Some of the stuff in the run game I see, I don't know how real they are, to be honest with you, right? If there's a good team, a good defensive end, a good defensive tackle, a good middle linebacker, a starting middle linebacker, the two teams they played didn't have their starters. So you really got to get your angles down, and it's not complicated, right? It really isn't complicated, man. You watch the film, and you see if you're doing it right, and you're doing it at the speed that it needs to be successful in the NFL versus playoff teams. So if I'm them, I'm working on that double team, that deuce, the linebackers, right? I'm working on my pass pro again because those first two drives, that first quarter, we won't talk about it, but let's work on that, right? You fall behind. Like I said, Minnesota Vikings like that. You fall behind. Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, the guys in your division. You fall behind those guys like that, you could be in trouble in a football game.
And they've trailed in every game this year, which is really saying something. I don't know why they're not able to kind of start and get ahead and move the chains until the third series.
Well, I just like to suggest to Coach Waldron that the first play of the game, let's just go zone read where Caleb can either keep it or hand it off, and then we'll line up a double tight end and come downhill. Because it seems when they do that, it seems like it settles everybody down, they get comfortable, and then somewhere in there on a down and distance that you think they might come after you, throw Swift a little screen, right? And it looks to me like if you're looking for identity on offense, that would be their identity, right? And then on a defensive side, man, it's just, I don't know, get those guys all healthy, Pat, right? Get those guys rested, healthy, and back on the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're talking about offense corrections. They really need to work on it. Defense, I think, you know, with their D-line and some of the run fits they're missing on. And I wonder how much Zach Pickens will help if he gets in there, you know, but he's going to be a little raw right now. But that defense right now, they don't need much to correct on, but they just got to get healthy, get in that cold tub, get the ARP, whatever, get whatever something on you to get you better. But right now, did you think at the beginning of the year, you know, we watched the first couple games and we're up and down, that they would be at 4-2 right now? Is this kind of what you were hoping for? Or did you think they would be able to get here?
I think everyone thought they had a chance, right, because of the teams they were playing. So when you looked at their schedule and the way things are going, you're like, man, I think everyone said, you know, Molly's on the radio way more than us. I'm sure he said a million times weeks ago they could win these next three games, right? When you looked at how it was stacking up and you saw injuries going, people going down, and you're watching the Jaguars play and the amount of yardages the defense were giving up, we all thought, man, there's three winnable games, right? There's three teams that they can beat. Here's one thing I didn't think. I didn't think they were going to beat them like that. Right? Yeah, I didn't think they were just going to roll over them like that. They look like, you know, like the Jaguars before, teams like that, we would be in football games with them, right? The Bears look like they've taken a step, guys. They look like they're going to another tier of football team right now when you watch them play football and they play against teams. And I got to give some credit to Coach Eberflus, because when you watch his defense play, when you watch his team play, his guys have bought into what he's selling, right? And that's huge for a football coach, man. I mean, everybody, Peanut Tillman, take a bow. Everyone's doing the punch, right, on that field. Everyone chasing balls, trying to punch it out. They're in London for a week. You think, oh, they come out lackluster. There's a lot of talk about how to do that right. Did they do it right? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So I thought they could definitely be there, Pat, right, with the record they have right now. I didn't think they'd be there with this kind of style.
There's a segment from the post-game show earlier today with Mully and Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I love when, like, people much smarter than me see the same things that I see and say the same things that I say and sort of validate what I'm saying out there. And Olin validated a lot of what I was saying, including at the end there. He almost said exactly what we were talking about earlier in the show in terms of the way that they beat Carolina and Jacksonville. It looks like they're taking a step into another tier, and all the stuff about Caleb Williams and his progress. You're never sure if you're just, you know, a fan getting carried away when you see these things, but three guys as smart as them, two guys who played in this league as long as Olin and Patrick Manley did. They're seeing it too. This is not fool's gold. Your eyes do not deceive you in what you're seeing in Caleb Williams and that Bears offense here in these last couple of weeks. Got a couple of good questions in the text line, 312-644-6767, if you want to get in there, or on the phone lines. And I came across a couple more just mind-blowing stats about this Bears team and that offense, and I'll bring you all that right after this. Rami Makhlouf, it's Bears Overnight and back in just a few minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Some good questions in the text line at 312-644-6767. You can shoot me a text, thoughts, questions, anything else, or give me a call at that number, 312-644-6767. I dedicated pretty much a whole segment earlier in the show to just mind-blowing numbers as far as Caleb Williams goes, that sort of put in perspective the season that he's having. Also, just where this offense is at, and it also put into perspective just how bereft of offense the Bears have been and we as fans have been watching here over the last few years. I came across a couple more while we were listening to a clip from the post-game show in the last segment there. Jason Leeser, he tweeted out earlier today, well, I guess this was yesterday now, his 124.4 passer rating makes him the first rookie in Bears history to hit 100-plus passer rating 3 games in a row. In history to do that. Stat hole tweeted out. That's a good name. The last time the Chicago Bears scored a touchdown on four consecutive drives was week 14 in 2006 versus the Rams.
So the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yes. The last time the Bears scored a touchdown on four straight drives was 18 years ago against the Rams. That is wild. That doesn't even make sense.
And hello, then, Rex Grossman.
And then this one from ESPN Stats and Info, Caleb Williams, 8 passing TDs this season, is already tied for the 4th most by a Bears rookie in a single season. The team record belongs to Charlie O'Rourke, who is the only rookie in team history to throw double-digit touchdowns. He had 11 in 1942. In 1942, that was the last time and the only time a Bears rookie quarterback has thrown double-digit touchdowns. When people are going, hello, my baby, hello, my dog. Yeah, back then, that was the last time a Bears quarterback threw for double-digit touchdowns in his rookie season. That's wild, man. We've been watching some garbage around here as far as quarterbacks and offenses go. That is just wild. I got this question from the text line, 773. It says, this is probably a dumb idea, but I'm full of them. I don't know if it is. Says, should the Bears start in a 2-minute style offense to get a quick start on a given week? I don't know. I don't know if that is crazy or if that's a dumb idea or not. I can't remember the last time I saw a team come out in hurry up off. I mean, the Bills did it in the 90s. They just ran a 2-minute style, like a no huddle 2-minute style offense all the time. But I get why you're asking, because the last 2 weeks when the Bears have gone to that, that's when Caleb Williams has sort of started to find a rhythm and a groove and it sort of gets this offense going. So I get why you're having that idea. I don't think it's that dumb an idea. I would have to ask an Olin Krutz or a Patrick Manley if that's something that an offense can just go out there and do. I mean, they weren't even scripting the first 15 plays till a couple of weeks ago. So I'd imagine if you're going to do a 2-minute drill out the gates, a hurry up offense out the gates, no huddle style, you'd be scripting those. You'd be scripting those for sure. So I don't know, something to consider, because that certainly does seem to get Caleb Williams and this offense going. From the 816, Coach Flus sounds pretty good this week, and says they're not luck; they are creating a culture. I would agree with. I mean, there's always an element of luck to success in sports, not just football. We talked earlier about how there's an element of luck to turnovers in the NFL. But yeah, man, I think a lot of what we're seeing is stuff that, when I say luck, I just mean things you can't really control. The way a ball bounces or whatever the case might be. Injuries is another element of luck that you can't control. There's always that element of luck. But I think a lot of what the Bears are doing, including the turnovers that they're creating, that's their own doing. That's not the football gods smiling down on them. As far as that question that I just read off about the 2-minute hurry up offense, that was something that Keenan Allen touched on after this game. And Keenan Allen, this was his breakout game as a Bear. 5 receptions, 41 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 huge first down receptions, one on a third down, one on a fourth down. And here he was after the 35-16 win over the Jaguars in London yesterday.
After the touchdown down the middle, when he hit you on the back shoulder, how do you know that he sees that back shoulder, and what are you seeing that gives you the same information?
Yeah, we starts with too high defense. Once we get too high, you know, I'm one-on-one with the middle linebacker. We've been working on that throw since OTAs. So, you know, today we was able to put it on film and, you know, make it happen.
Keenan, you've been a part of some incredible wide receiver rooms throughout your career. Where does this room rank compared to some of those others?
It's up at the top, for sure. From top to bottom, tight ends, running backs, receivers, obviously, and then you got a quarterback like Caleb. I think we could be real special.
The command that he had, I mean, the way that both of your touchdowns, just like a perfectly placed pass, mm-hmm. What does that speak to just like his command of the offense, but particularly knowing where to put the ball?
Yeah, he was obviously in a rhythm after the first couple drives and, you know, 5 incompletions, I think it was. You know, you can tell, you know, he's just dotting them up. Even the 4th down ball, the slant, it was a dot. So, yeah, when he's in a groove like that and all the balls are catchable, then, you know, it's pretty easy to play receiver.
He said he was pissed off about the interception that kind of fueled him, like a little extra going in. Could you sense that?
Yeah, absolutely. When he came back the next drive after the turnover, just hear him kind of give out a like a let's go. You know, you tell he wasn't like down. He didn't lose any confidence. So I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. And then just bing, bam, boom, we went all the way down the field.
You know really, really well what good quarterback play looks like from your career. What is clicking for Caleb? How significant are the steps that he's taken the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think just his growth. Just week in, week out, he gets better. You know, obviously when we pick up the tempo, he's a lot more comfortable. He's able to see things faster, and, you know, the defense can't do all the moving around and stuff. So it's benefits us.
Keenan, how good does it feel?
How would you describe the kind of the belief that's swelling up in the offense right now with these back-to-back performances?
Yeah, you know, the first couple of weeks, defense was playing huge. Offense wasn't really doing a lot. Now we're coming out, we're scoring some more than we were, and scoring a lot of points. So, you know, it makes it easier for the defense. I was just talking to Montez. He was like, man, I was getting frustrated. Y'all kept converting on third down. I was ready to go back out there. I'm trying to get a sack. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be like that sometime. So, you know, as long as everybody's, you know, complimenting each other, special teams playing good, and we got a chance.
How were the celebrations?
It was only a matter of time before you had a breakout game. How did it feel to finally have one? Were you getting frustrated at all or anything like that?
It was big time. Like you said, missed a couple weeks. So just come back, you know, when you take a little break from football and then you come back, you got to get back into the groove of things sometimes. So, you know, I was just keep playing. Don't try not to get frustrated and, you know, just stay ready.
What were the celebrations you guys sorted through before you settled on?
Obviously, the drinking tea one was one we were talking about during that drive. It was like whoever scores, we're going to do the little tea party thing. And then that was kind of the only one. We did the little marching band at the end, too.
Who came up with the tea party idea?
DeAndre Swift.
Keenan, you're on a three-game winning run. DeAndre Swift in those three games has been very, very good. How much has his production opened up the offense for you all?
Oh, it's been huge. Run game, it's come alive. The first couple weeks we were struggling. It's come alive a lot. Screen game, come alive a lot. And him at the backfield is second to none. So, you know, as long as you have to account for everybody on the offense, Caleb's running around, it's kind of hard to, you know, play. Like that.
You guys arrived on Tuesday, so very early in the week. Did that make a difference in terms of when you were here last time with the Chargers, in terms of arriving that early, in terms of the jet lag and getting accustomed to?
Yeah, I would say so. Being out here all week, you know, we got a chance to settle down. Tuesday, as soon as we landed, I had to go to sleep. I didn't sleep too much on the plane, so I went straight to sleep, got me a nap in, but I didn't go to sleep that night until 4 in the morning, you know, just because of the time difference. And the next day, same thing. Didn't go to sleep probably 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there on Netflix, Instagram, whatever, just not being able to go to sleep. And then, you know, as the week progressed yesterday, I'm in the bed at 10:30, ready to knock out, so it's good.
Can it be easy to say it's not really Caleb's job to be concerned about who gets how many catches, how many targets? But human nature kind of dictates that you kind of get concerned about that. How does he go about kind of delegating or not delegating, but making sure you guys are satisfied? And then how do you all, on the other end, kind of maybe check your egos a little bit to make sure you're not being too much on him as a rookie right now in terms of, you know, me?
Yeah, well, like we was talking about with the receiver room that we got, with the weapons that we do have, running backs, tight ends, receiver, himself running the ball. As a quarterback, I don't think you need to look at one person versus, you know, you have like a Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and then the rest. There's just guys, and I know disrespect to those guys, but you got Justin Jefferson. You got to get him the ball every damn play. So, I mean, it's just we got guys you can get the ball to. So, it is what it is.
I mean, he's been so good in and out of structure for a long time, but to see him create, I think it was on the fifth drive that it was the 23-yard scramble, the 19-yard scramble, it set up for the drive. What does that do for this offense when you have a quarterback who can do so much in and out of structure?
It's huge because, you know, the defense, their coverage – shut down the play that we have, but you didn't guard the quarterback. So, I mean, who are you going to stop? You stop the quarterback or you stop the guys just running the routes? It's hard to do both.
What's it say about Cole to see him have two touchdown catches and be the long snapper?
And the long snapper, that's elite. You know, we was talking about it on the sideline. I don't think I've ever seen it. Have a guy score a touchdown and do a snap. Pretty solid.
What were your expectations coming into the game with the fan support? Did you think it was going to be as good as it was today?
No, I didn't. DJ was saying this is his home game. And watch this. I was like, all right, I'll see how it looks. I'm not used to that, so that was solid.
You change teams at this stage in your career. You probably don't really know what you're getting into when you arrive at Halas Hall. What do you think this team is? Now you're six games in. You've seen the talent. You've seen how things are run. What do you think you guys can do?
Player-led team, man. We got a lot of leadership. You know, we feed off each other. The defense is amazing. He said the offense has gotten better every week. Special teams is second to none. And, you know, I think we do a great job of showing up every day ready to work. And, like I said, everybody feeds off each other.
On third down, how much pride have you taken over the years in being a weapon to get open, even when maybe everybody in the stadium knows that he's probably looking for it?
I don't know. I've just always been good at it, I guess. third down, you know, a lot of opportunities out there just because they're going to be playing man coverage. And, you know, you just got to find a way to get open. And that's what I do.
Second touchdown. What did you see on your route and what did you see on the ball that came?
Second touchdown with the fade. He was in the red zone. It was one-on-one. They was one high. Press coverage. It was actually a run play with the fade check. And, you know, as soon as you line up, you're like, you know what time it is. Like, it's one-on-one. It's me and you. So, Caleb, throw the ball. And then when I looked up, it was a perfect ball. So, I didn't have to jump up and, you know, make a miraculous catch or anything. It was just pack and go at that point.
Keenan, Caleb just referred to you as like an older brother figure throughout his time with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Would you also see him as a younger brother? Is that the relationship you've got?
Yeah, absolutely. Ever since I've been here, ever since he's been drafted, we've always had the connection, the relationship, just going back and forth, laughing, whatever it is, talking football, video games, playing cards, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
Shane said this week, like making a concerted effort in the offense to get you the ball. I don't know, we usually hear, like, oh, the quarterback's just going to go over his reads tape, and we don't hear that often that we're trying to feed Keenan. What was that process like for you going throughout the week, like just knowing that you were going to get targeted a lot today?
I didn't think I was going to get targeted a lot. going through the week, it was still frustrating, obviously, because, you know, things happen. Plays don't play out like they do. But we're talking about it again on the sideline today, me and Shane. That red zone drive where I did score the first touchdown, you know, he kept coming to me back to back to back. Three plays in a row, he came to me. So that was big time for me.
Keenan, you're 4-2 at the moment. The bye week is coming up. What areas would you say you need to clean up before the next game against Washington?
Just continue to get better. Scoring drives on offense and turnovers, obviously. I think we had one ball on the ground today, fumble-wise, and just protecting the ball at all costs and giving the defense a chance to shut them boys up.
On the seam touchdown to Cole, you guys had the fake screens both sides. What was your view of that entire sequence and watching that thing come over?
Yeah, but that's just a great play. Great play call. He's on the perfect spot of the field to dial it up. And, you know, that was one of the plays going into the game. We were like, we got a good chance to score on this play. And Cole made a hell of a job getting into the end zone, running through a guy. And good reach, bad reach. Say it's a bad reach when you score. It's a good reach when you score touchdowns.
There's Keenan Allen after the 35-16 win over the Jaguars in London yesterday. Just a few takeaways. He's going to say this because it's the team that he plays for now, but said this wide receiver core is up at the top of any wide receiver core that he's played with, and I think there's ample evidence to support that statement when you look at a core that includes DJ Moore himself and the number 8 pick in the draft in Rome Odunze. I like that he talked about that he could sense Caleb was pissed off after the interception, and he said he was curious and kind of sat back and was like, okay, let's see how he responds, and he, like the rest of us, impressed by what he saw. I was talking right before we played it off a question from a listener in the text line. You can get in 312-644-6767, who was asking if they could start the game in up tempo, 2-minute style, no huddle offense. He admitted, and Caleb admitted when he heard from him earlier, a lot more comfortable when they pick up the tempo. And like I said, that seems to be when this offense, and especially Caleb Williams, seemed to sort of find a rhythm. Speaking of rhythms, he admitted took a couple weeks coming off the injury to find his rhythm and sort of find his place in the offense. And it was, he admitted, big to have that breakout game. And I love the answer to the question of how Caleb makes sure that everyone is happy in terms of the wide receiver and their targets. And he said no need to just look at one person and try and make sure that everybody is getting their targets and getting their touches and you're making everybody happy. That all those guys know. Those guys look around that wide receiver room and around the skill positions with Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift at the tight end and running back positions. They just know, like, any week could be anybody's week. Any play could be anybody's play because they're all that good. They're all that skilled, and it's sort of pick your poison for defenses, and Caleb is just going to find what's there. He's going to take what defenses give him. At least that's what they want him to do. On being a third down target, he just said, that's what I do, which I love. I love that confidence from a veteran who just says, yeah, big spots, big in games like that. It's just what I do. I'm Keenan Allen. Have you not seen me do this for so many years in the league?
And like I said, that's how he made his presence felt. Those two touchdown catches were enormous. I think actually the first one was on third down as well, but then that fourth down catch and then that other third one where Caleb just rifled it in that tight window. That was special, man.
And yeah, the first one was really, really nice. The ball was out of his hands before. I mean, he was still looking at Keenan Allen's back when the ball was released, and Keenan Allen turns around. And he had to sort of reach up and back for it. It was on his back shoulder, and he had to reach up and back for it and brought it in.
Just incredible adjustment.
Great play by both those guys.
Yeah.
The touch, the zip on it to squeeze it in that window, and then the body control and hands of a Keenan Allen to make that catch. Just incredible. And he admitted he didn't think, even though they were talking about it throughout the week, he didn't think he'd be targeted as much as he was this week, even though Caleb Williams told everybody who would listen, like, that was an emphasis for him and for this offense this week to get Keenan Allen involved, and boy did they, man. And I said this earlier in the show, but we saw a lot of what we saw from Keenan Allen in the three games that he played, and not including the two that he was injured. Sort of Keenan Allen the decoy for a lot of what we saw. We saw Keenan Allen the weapon, and we saw the Keenan Allen who's always open. Even if he has a defender on him, he's always open and can bring the ball in, even when he has a defender all over him, or even if it's just a small window or he's turning around and the ball is already on him. He has the body control, the hands, the physicality to fight for the ball. Dude was really, really good today. Five targets, caught all five of those, 41 yards, and the two touchdowns and two huge first down conversions. So we saw Keenan Allen and why the Bears brought him here, and I'm really happy to see that and to see this offense and Caleb Williams take another big step. Another good question in the text line that a lot of people are asking about this Bears team, not just listeners, not just Bears fans, but people around the NFL world who are watching this team are asking this question about this Bears team and watching what they've done the last couple weeks. I'll read that to you, and we'll talk about it a little bit right after this. It's Score Overnights. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Football Monday here on The Score. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.